Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
My name is Philip Steele. I am the missions pastor, also pastor of the Spanish congregation that meets here. And also, there's a Burmese Bible on this pulpit. That's our group as well. We have a Burmese group that meets here at 4 o'clock. I don't know if you knew that. We do have some testimonies from Honduras. Sean, don't be going away now. I need you here. We had several people go to my wife's home country of Honduras for 10 days, June 4th to the 14th. Sean, come on up here. Tell us a little bit about what God did through you, for you, in you.
Hello, my name is Sean again. No, Honduras was really amazing. I went on this trip about 4 or 5 years ago to Baja, Mexico, and it was cool, but I was really shy and timid, and I wasn't really confident in my testimony because I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But then I found out that it was a big deal because God changing your life is a big deal. So I think one of my favorite parts about Honduras was three students in particular. We went to a college in Honduras called UNA, UNAH, and there's 85,000 students at this college, which is a lot. If you get MTSU, that's like four times the size of MTSU. It's a lot of people. So there's kind of this central area where a lot of people hung out with this fountain, and I met three students in particular. Their names are Danny, Nudi, and Alan. And I did the God test with Alan, but Danny and Nudi were with them when I did it. So throughout the week, me and Ruth hung out with these students and just spent time with them. And one thing that was really cool was I always thought that words were like a bigger deal than actions, but this trip kind of proved me wrong because, you know, I couldn't really talk to these three students in English because they didn't speak that well of English. They spoke a little bit. But the time that I spent with them communicated the same message as if I had spoken a lot to them. So by the end of the 10 days, I was already super close to these people, even though I couldn't say much. And, you know, that's, you know, a great example of the fact that actions speak louder than words. But one of my favorite parts was the first day we were at the entrance of this campus. And we were just talking about what have we had done that day. And while we were talking, this dude limped up to us. And he was like, said something in Spanish. He was like, ¿Cómo estás? I don't know what you're saying in Spanish. But he was like, hey, guys, I need some money to go to the doctor because he hurt his leg. He needed surgery on his leg. And so I was like, well, we don't have money for you, but we have Jesus for you. And so we prayed for his leg. God healed him. That's super cool. God healed him. And then he, like, in the middle of our praying, he just started moving his leg and his eyes got super big. And he went around and started telling, like, everyone around him, including some police officers that came over. And then Pastor Philip started sharing the gospel with them. So that was really cool. But later I realized that was Acts 3 in real life, if you guys are familiar with that story. When Peter walks up to the lame man and he says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I will give you. Get up and walk. And then the guy got up and walked. So it was that story in real life. So, if you're thinking about going on a missions trip, do it. It's awesome. Your testimony is powerful, no matter what you think. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Muchas gracias. And we do have a special day today with Rush here as well. Most of our staff, just so you know, most of our staff is at a retreat. We do this annually. Pastor Rice was there, as well as our congregational pastors from Franklin, Murfreesboro, Clarksville, Phoenix, Dallas, Cincinnati, Lexington, and everybody else. So that's why we're kind of, you know, short on staff and everything. But I know that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is here. Y'all are here, so we're going to have church. Amen. Amen. We have one more testimony from Honduras. Ruth, come on up here. If you don't know, this is my daughter.
It was actually kind of funny when Sean came up to me to go talk to them. Because I was like looking at everyone to see who would look like approachable, and Sean like picked these people that was like, I don't know, they seem like they're really like into what they're doing. But I went anyways, and it was cool just to build the relationship with them. But before I went on this trip, I didn't really know what I thought God was gonna do, because I've been on other trips, and you know, you see people come to the Lord, and it's awesome, but I did not, like, I've never been on a 10-day trip before, and it was just so cool the way it all worked, because we really got to build relationships, and it wasn't about, like, how many people can you get saved in an hour. It was more of, like, sit down and talk to them and get to know them, and, like, the fact that we saw Danny, Nudie, and Alan, like, every day while we were there, I think, like Sean said, like, those actions speak really loudly. And it was also such a privilege to go, because that's where my family's from. And even walking on campus, I would run into my cousins, and it was just so cool. But I really love that country, and it's so awesome to see the work that God is doing there, and the church that's starting. And we even went to some police stations, I guess, and we did devotionals with the police. And it's so cool to see what God's doing even through that, because if change starts there and in the campus, and we also did children's ministry, and so if change starts in those three places, like, it'll be so cool to see the whole nation changed. So if you, yeah, give it up for God. So yeah, if you have never been on a mission trip, if you have never been to Honduras, I would suggest you should go on a mission trip to Honduras. But any mission trip is awesome too, so thank you.
Very good. I guess this is kind of like Mission Sunday all over again, isn't it? Nick, come on up here. We want to hear a little bit. This young man, I've heard a little bit of the story. You live down in Spring Hill, right? And you've been reaching out to the high schoolers. Tell us a little bit.
So during the month of March, that was my third month living here, because I just moved December, actually. And so I've been going to Rush for a couple months, and I was like, it's pretty cool, because I wasn't really religious at the time. And so my mom just gave me the crazy idea. She's like, hey, just invite some friends. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I asked a couple people, and they're like, yeah, sure. And so I didn't know, but they had a good time, and then it just kept growing and growing, and I got saved, and then a whole bunch of other people got saved. And it was really crazy, because just a simple question, hey, do you want to go to church, could change people's lives with God, which is really amazing. And I didn't even know, because I was just like that guy who would just be there and just asking a question could change a life, which that's really crazy. And so it's gone up to around 20 people. I don't, just a whole big chunk of that back area, which is really crazy and amazing that God has done that through just the power of a question.
How many of you from Spring Hill over here on this side? Stand up, all Spring Hill people. That is fantastic. Wow. Well done. That's great. It's so good to see what God is doing amongst all our youth and everything that's going on. We have been in the book of Acts here on Wednesday night, special kind of series this whole summer. So right now we're in, I guess it would be Paul's second missionary journey. They had the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, where they had to decide some important doctrinal issues. And then we get into Acts 16, and I'm going to try to go through like Acts 16, 17, 18, 19, maybe 20. You know, we'll just kind of do a flyover, and I'm going to try to pull some things out. But if you don't hear anything else, what you need to hear is just keep on preaching the gospel. Just keep on preaching the gospel is what we need to do, whether it's in Spring Hill, whether it's in Honduras, whether it's in, you know, your neighborhood, in your workplace, wherever it is with your family. Just keep on preaching the gospel. And we've got a scripture. I'm hoping we can get it up on the screen in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 5 through 10. I think we have it there. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. This is when they had sent out the Jerusalem Council, all the news. They had gone around and giving that, you know, that decision. Churches were strengthened in the faith, increased in numbers daily. Then verse 6, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word of in Asia. Now, you wonder, you want to pause here. Now, why is it that the Holy Spirit would have them not go into Asia? It's a good question. We're going to try to answer it here a little bit. But sometimes the Lord does give us a little bit of direction and indicates where we should go. We'll go on in verse 7. And when they came to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they had a couple different moments where the Spirit didn't allow them to go into these places. And then in verse 8, so then passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And verse 9, then there appeared a man to Paul in night, a man of Macedonia, standing there, urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. We need some help. And then the next verse, and then they assumed that when Paul had this vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Father, we thank you so much, even for this passage and the other ones that we're going to see. Lord, I pray that you'd give us just a heart to hear, to see, that we could even apply it to our life. Lord, I pray even the testimonies, Lord, all that we share tonight would be full of your faith and your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for those that don't know me, I'm originally from Minnesota, you betcha. I came to the Lord my freshman year of college, and then during that time, Pastor Rice was traveling around. He actually went to, I think it was 60, I want to get this right, 30 different places where he was either helping to plant a new church or strengthening a fairly new church. 30 different cities in 60 months. So every other month he was planting a new church during that time. He went up to the University of Minnesota. I was recently saved, had some things in my life that needed to kind of get straightened out. And, you know, he spoke the word of the Lord to me. So we've been a relationship now. I guess I'll date myself, but it's been over 30 years that I've known at least Pastor Rice from a distance. And then in 1990, I moved down to Costa Rica, got a one-way ticket to Costa Rica, and really had a great mission trip that first year because I left single and I came back married. Yes. My beautiful wife there on the second row. So I've got the, I told people in Honduras, I already took the most beautiful thing out of the country, the most beautiful person out of the country. So we got married in Honduras and then we lived in Costa Rica for 12 years. I did campus ministry, kind of a continuation of what we had been doing even in Minnesota, doing campus ministry, doing youth outreach as well. And just to keep on preaching, just keep on preaching. I can remember at the University of Minnesota reaching out to some football players, American football. And, you know, they were bigger than I was. And as I was preaching the gospel to them, I heard this voice say, look how big they are. If you keep on preaching, they're gonna hit you. You're going to wake up next week in the hospital. Now, at least that one time, I did recognize that that was not the voice of my loving Father. That was the voice of the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy and intimidate through fear. And so as I recognized that, I just kept on preaching to these. Just kept on preaching. You just got to keep on preaching. And we did see some people come to the Lord, pretty radically saved at the University of Minnesota during that time. And then living in Costa Rica as well, just keep on preaching. Just keep on preaching. If we continue on here, in verse 11, I think we are, and there were some Jews. Let me see if we can get it. I'm going to read out of my iPad here so I can make sure that I get this right. Verse 11, I think. Where are we at here? Let me look back this way. These were Jews. We'll hold off on that one just for a second. That's a little bit farther than what I want to go to, because right here. And even, you know, even at the University of Costa Rica, we would start to reach out. And I can remember being on the campus at the University of Costa Rica one day doing evangelism on the campus, and I met this guy interested in the gospel, and I said, okay, let's get together tomorrow, and we'll meet at, you know, looking at his class schedule, I said, let's meet at 1 o'clock. So I set up my appointment, and then I just kept on reaching out to people during that time, evangelizing. Met another guy that was interested in the gospel. I said, let's meet tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And so I had a couple appointments set up for the next day. And I kept on that day. I kept on and met another guy. And I said, let's meet tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And so I went home. I was all happy. I had a good day of ministry out on the campus. Had three appointments for the next day. And I get up. I go out on campus, University of Costa Rica. It's about 5 minutes to one, you know, and I'm sitting in the place where I'd told the guy to meet me, and, you know, it's 1 o'clock, and I'm looking out there, 1:05, and I'm looking out there, and it's 1:10, and I'm looking out there again, 1:15. Well, maybe he's a little bit late. I'll give him a little bit of time, you know, 1:20. And then about 1:30, I realized, you know, I don't think he's coming. But I figure, you know, I'll just stay here, and I'll just wait for my 2 o'clock appointment. So I'm just hanging out, you know, 1:45, 5 minutes to 2 o'clock, and I'm just looking out at the crowd, wondering if he's going to come, and then 2:05 and 2:10. Well, I'll just give him a little bit more time, 2:15 and 2:20, and, you know, by about 2:30, I realize, you know, I just don't think he's going to make it today, but I'll just hang tight. You know, I've got a 3 o'clock appointment. And so I'm waiting there, you know, 2:45, and then 2:55, and I'm waiting, looking, and wondering, and where's he going to come from, 3 o'clock, and it's 3:05, and I'm just still waiting, and I'm 3:10, 3:15, and, you know, 3:20 and 3:30, and I realized, you know, three appointments I'd set up and nobody showed up. You know, we could hear these testimonies, people getting saved. You know, you go up on the escalator and somebody gets saved. By the time you get off, you go in the elevator and people get saved just like that. You know, how many of you know it just doesn't always happen that easy? There's been some times where we just have to sow the seed. We just have to keep on. We just have to keep on keeping on. Just keep on preaching. You know, this original, this Acts 16, where they get the word to go into Macedonia. They don't go here. They don't go there. There's a reason why God had that in that particular case. Generally speaking, from what I read in the book of Acts, and as I prepared for this message, I've been reading it, you know, over and over, trying to pull out different things out of the book of Acts. I really only find a couple places where the Holy Spirit or, you know, a vision or something, where they give them actually specific indications of where they should go. Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch was one where the Spirit said, go to this place. But other than that, it's just a general go into all the world and just keep on preaching. Just keep on preaching. Just go ahead and keep on preaching. It's kind of like when God told Adam to name the animals. Sometimes we're waiting for this lightning bolt from heaven. Okay, what do you want me to name this one? It's real big, and it's got this long trunk in the front and a long tail. And what? And Adam could be saying, well, God, what's your perfect will? Okay, and God would say, my will is that you name them. Just put a name on them. If you want to call them an elephant, then that's what it'll be. It'll be an elephant. You know, don't be waiting for this big lightning, but we've already got a great commission. And as you read the book of Acts, there was those two moments, I believe, with this Macedonian vision and then Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. Other than that, they're going on the general word, and we just got to go on the general word. In this case, they go into Macedonia, and first they find a place of prayer, and they find this lady named Lydia, and they start sharing the gospel to Lydia. Her heart is opened up, her family's opened up. And then Paul just continues in Macedonia there, and there's this one girl that she's telling the future, and she's like a fortune teller. She's earning, she's a slave, so her owners earn a lot of money. Paul listens to her day after day, and finally is just agitated and says, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. Amen. And so he casts out the devil, and then the owners get all angst and angry. They put Paul and Silas in jail. And at the midnight hour, even the darkest hour, what do we find Paul and Silas doing? They're just praising the Lord and they're praying. They could have been saying, well, what about that vision? I'm just not so sure that was the right vision. Are you sure we're serving God and we're in jail now? How many of you know it's not always easy to serve God? God has not called us to an easy life. He's called us to holiness. He's not called us just for our happiness, but for the extension of his kingdom. God knew what he was doing. And I think that as they were praising the Lord, you know, the beat went up to heaven somehow, and God started doing like this. And there was a divine earthquake. Now, why do I say divine earthquake? Because all the chains were loosened, the doors were open, but nobody was hurt. And the jailer thinks everybody's going to try to escape. Paul says, we're all here. Don't harm yourself. He takes out a sword. He's ready to kill himself because if the prisoners escape, it's his life for the prisoners. Paul says, don't do anything. The jailer says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus. You'll be saved, you and your household. That very hour of the night, they were baptized. And that's the start of the Philippian church. Now we have the letter to the Philippians that we have. And actually that church supported Paul in his other missionary journeys. And as they continued through Macedonia, as they continued going through there, they come to a place called Thessalonica. And in Thessalonica, they preach the gospel, as was his custom. And then in Berea, they go to this other place. And each one of these places, each one of these cities has their own kind of little cultural, you know, whatever you want to call it, differences, as well as there's a different reaction in each of these cities. If we can just kind of do a quick flyover. And in Berea, Acts 17, this one I think we do have on the scriptures, I hope so. And those were some Jews that were more noble than those of Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. No, that's what we need to do. We can take that example for us and just go ahead and go home and examine, see if this is really true, what the preacher is saying. Don't just take it just because somebody has a microphone or somebody has a podcast. You need to look in your own Bible and go ahead and examine to see if that's really the way it is. And in Thessalonica, we see many of them were believed, not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul and Berea also, they came there too, agitating, stirring up the crowds. You know, the first verse that I mentioned out of Acts 16, it says something like, you know, the churches were strengthened, they were growing. How many of you like that part? We'd like to hear about Spring Hill. We'd like to hear about Honduras. Great things that we like. You know, as I look through the scriptures and I tried to just pull out some of those different scriptures that say they were growing, multiplied, many believers, 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved, etc. And what I found in just my little, you know, informal kind of studying of that, there were 8 different passages. But then when I look through the scriptures and I see, you know, this one here, they agitate everything. And they stirred up the crowds. And Saul, before he was converted, was persecuting. And Stephen was stoned. You know, I looked up that, and it's close to 20. We like the growth part. You know, we like to hear the testimonies. But how many of us have had moments, either maybe my moment at the University of Costa Rica, where you set up 3 appointments and nobody shows up? But you just got to keep on preaching. You just got to keep on preaching. There will be different reactions. There will be different cultures. There will be different, you know, whatever it might be, but just keep on preaching. Just keep on preaching. And in the next scripture that we have, I'm just kind of going through here this just a little bit. Acts 17, 16, I think we have. It says, well, Paul was waiting for them at Athens, going to Athens. His spirit was provoked with him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So you get a different cultural context, but how many of you know the gospel is the same? If we go to Honduras, if we go to India, we have people leaving that they have left today for Mexico, Baja, Mexico. Other people, Pastor James is leaving for India. We have a group going to Jamaica coming up. We have a group going to South Africa. Help me out. We have a group going to Colombia. We're even planning our mission trips for next year, even some local trips, local domestic within the United States. What Sean was saying, if you haven't been on a mission trip, just go ahead and go. The gospel is the same. The problems around the world, whether it's Nashville, whether it's Honduras, whether it's wherever it might be, the problems are the same. It's sin in man's heart, and the gospel is the message is that's going to change people's lives. Here, this city, Athens, so full of idols, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and devout persons in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Acts 17:21 gives us a little picture that Athens is somewhat similar to even our culture, full of idols. You know, we maybe don't have all the temples that they had back then, but our society is so full of idols. Some people are kind of angst because, you know, the World Cup is going on right now, and the United States doesn't shut down completely when the United States national team is playing. That happens in other countries, I guarantee it. United States against Germany. Germany will be on national holiday tomorrow, 11 o'clock our time. Costa Rica, Honduras, other countries, Argentina, Brazil, when their national team plays, it'll be completely shut down. There'll be no traffic. It's like if the Super Bowl was every 4 years, but if you combine the Super Bowl, NBA Finals, World Series, that's what the World Cup is in other countries. And we don't shut down because why? Because we have football, basketball, baseball, ESPN, we have the Emmy, we have all these different distractions, all these different idols that we have. You know, this group is going to India. What is it, 300 million idols? We probably don't have that many because We do. We have about, in the United States, what, 320 million people? We probably have about the same amount of number of idols. It's just that we don't have all the temples and all that kind of stuff. We have little temples in our homes, whether it's computers, iPads, whatever, you know, what we worship, what we incline our heart to. So it's full of idols. And then it also talks about the people of that particular city. I don't know if we have this one, Acts 17:21, that all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. All the news. You've got Fox News, you've got CNN, you've got all these different news medias. It's almost the same. Now, the message that Paul preached to this place, different culture, same message, just keep on preaching. Just keep on preaching. I like this verse, Acts 17:30, this times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Here we get the sovereignty of God, that God is God and he can command. It's not an invitation in this case. It's not just like, would you please think about maybe possibly, but he commands all men, young men and old, everybody to repent. Because he's fixed a day in which he's going to judge the world with righteousness, having given proof of it by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what he's saying. The same message that we can use today in our society, so full of idols and just always wanting to know what the latest news is and who got married to who and who got divorced from who and who won and, you know, whether or not so-and-so is going to be a free agent or what's going to happen. You know, always wanting to know the latest, greatest news. The message is repent. And then if we continue on down into Corinth, Acts 18, just a flyover here. Paul left Athens, went to Corinth. He found a Jew named Aquila, the native of Pontus, recently came from Italy with his wife Priscilla. And he preaches there as well. And then he goes to Ephesus. Ephesus was just kind of in and out the first time, and then he stays there again. Acts chapter 19. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country, came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. And then he asked the disciples, same question we could ask here. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? In what were you baptized? And they said, we were baptized into John's baptism. And Paul says, that's okay. You know, John baptized a baptism of repentance. And then he explained about Jesus, and then he laid hands on them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he continued on in Ephesus for a season, and then we have the letter to the Ephesians. You see how these letters and these places kind of go together. So as you read through the book of Acts, you should also read some of these letters. Philippi, the letter to the Philippians. Thessalonica, the letter to the Thessalonians. Ephesians, etc., etc. And so we can just follow this. He entered the synagogues for 3 months in all these different cities. You know, when we say go preach the gospel is the good news that God became a man in Christ Jesus. He lived that perfect life, righteous life that we should have lived, died the death we should have died in our place, rose again on the third day, offered salvation to all those who believe, repent, and believe in the gospel. The message is the same. I can remember just being in Honduras this last week. One of the guys from another city that went with us, he felt led to talk to some guys on the campus. There were about 6 or 8 of them on the campus, and so he shared his testimony. I was translating, and I tell you, I felt about as anointed as a rock. I was translating his testimony, and I knew he was kind of landing the plane. He was kind of finishing up. So just, you know, where do I take this from here? Reach into my backpack, pull out a God test, which is a questionnaire that we use, Pastor Rice, our senior pastor, senior overseer. Just a questionnaire that really we do around the world. You know, do you believe in God? Innocent question. And we just start a conversation by just asking questions, and then we listen. And then we tell them our story. So I pulled out my God test. I still felt about as anointed as a rock. You know, sometimes you just don't feel the goosebumps. You don't feel this lightning bolt from heaven. You don't feel an angel telling you, go tell your neighbor. But you just got to keep preaching the gospel. Paul goes to all these different cities, and he finds a way to preach the gospel. So here we are with 6 or 8 university students, and pull out the God test, and then you just keep. I just share my story of what happened to me. I share the gospel with them. And again, I can't really say that at that time that, you know, they received the Lord, they prayed the prayer. It doesn't always work like that. You sow a seed, you just keep preaching the gospel. Paul had different kinds of reactions. And that one in, I think it was in Athens, Acts 17, where he said, God has appointed a moment where he's going to judge the world, commands all men everywhere to repent. If you read on in that story, there were three different reactions. Some mocked. Others said, we'll hear this later. We'll listen to you later. You know, you've been sowing the word and you've been sharing. Maybe later I'll come to church. I wonder, Nick, how many people you've invited. You know, we have, 15, 20, 25 here. How many of you have invited? Maybe 30, 40, 50. You know, maybe. That's just the way it is. Even Jesus talked about sowing the seed. Some falls on good ground. Some falls amongst thorns, rocky. Some of the birds. You just got to keep on preaching. Just keep on preaching. Just keep on preaching. Amen? When I was a student at the University of Minnesota, I got saved my freshman year of college. And that I studied agricultural engineering. Now, engineering is on the Minneapolis campus. Agriculture is on the St. Paul campus. At that time, they had a bus system, university bus system. It'd be about a 20-minute free bus ride in between. And so I'd get on out of my first year. I would just read my Bible. Just hungry for God, recently saved. I'd read my Bible. And the second year, I started taking Spanish, and so I had these cassette tapes. That's old school. You can read about it in, you know, your history books. Now you go to the museums maybe and get cassette tapes. Had these cassette tapes to help me learn Spanish. So I was just kind of closed into my own little world on the bus, and you know, listening to my cassette tapes and learning Spanish. And about by the third or fourth year, you know, I'd always have to take that 20-minute bus ride, 20 minutes going, 20 minutes back, maybe three, maybe five times a week. By third or fourth year, I got this revelation that I hope everybody can get. Deep revelation. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah. Deep revelation was not everybody on that bus had the same relationship that I had with Jesus. And I've been called to just keep on preaching anyway. So that third, fourth year of college, I'd get up on the bus and, you know, I just kind of like I was fishing for men. And I'd walk to the back. Well, these two are over there. He's listening to his cassettes, his music. This one here, you know, I'll sit next to somebody. I'll just ask questions, just an innocent question. What are you studying? Just start the conversation just by asking questions. That's all you got to do. Just open your mouth. The Lord will fill it. And I just start talking to him. Hey, are you involved in any kind of club, anything like that on campus? And more than once, I can say that I shared my testimony with people. One time, I remember I got to a point where I asked the guys, this early morning class, it was probably 8 o'clock, something like that. I asked this guy questions that we'd been taught. You know, have you come to a place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die today, you'd have a place with Jesus, you know, in heaven? And I remember one guy, he looked at me and he said, it's too early in the morning to think about that. And so I just kind of backed up a little bit, you know, just backed up a little bit. And again, I can't say that anybody, you know, prayed the prayer. But the Holy Spirit gives witness to my heart that amongst all those seeds that I've sown, that there's some people that are serving the Lord now. Just keep on preaching. Just keep on preaching. You know, as you read through the book of Acts, you'll see different moments. Yeah, the church was growing, church was growing, church was growing. Well, I mentioned, I found, I think, 6 or 8 different references to growth, increase, multiplied, 3,000, 5,000. I found probably at least 20 references just to persecution, major persecution. And I look through and I see a bunch of references to prayer. Sean mentioned one. You know, I don't have silver or gold. What I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. They were on their way to prayer at that time. Paul and Silas in jail, Acts 16. In jail, what were they doing? They were praying. Paul and Silas, when they go to Macedonia the first time, they found a place of prayer. So you can go through and you can, it's just interesting to pull out different things. And even you can, what I pulled out just before service, now I tried to find out who was traveling with Paul. He started with Barnabas and then John Mark, and then John Mark went back home, and then And then Paul and Barnabas got into this big fight. You know, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, but Paul said, no, he left us once. You know, mama's boy, I don't want to go with him. So Paul decides to take Silas, and then you get Timothy that joins him, and then Luke somewhere joins, because it starts to all these we assumed, you know, we went and us, and you know, third person kind of us, that's that kind of stuff. So we know Luke was in there too, the doctor. And then if you look at the other one, Acts 20 mentions, I don't know, five or six different people that were with them. But one thing I noticed is that Paul just kept on preaching. Didn't really matter who was with him. It's always good to have people. Jesus sent them two by two. But he just kept on preaching. So it really doesn't matter who's with you. Just keep on preaching. It doesn't really matter what the reaction of the people are. Just keep on preaching. It doesn't really matter what the cultural context is. Just keep on preaching. Just keep on preaching. Whatever your testimony is, one of the things that we do is we prepare people to go on short-term mission trips. We train them to share their testimony, their miracle, their tomb, and we practice it, two-minute miracle. If you've got Jesus, you've got a story you can tell what Jesus has done in your life. If you've got one Bible verse, you can share that. It's probably more than the person who doesn't know Jesus. Just keep on preaching. Whatever your level of knowledge of Christ is, just go ahead and preach. Perfection is not a requirement. Theological degree is not a requirement. We're going to try to equip you as much as you can, but what you have right where you are is sufficient to share the gospel. Just keep on preaching. Amen? Amen. Just keep on preaching. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this group. God, I thank you so much, even for the example of Paul and all the people that were with him. And Lord, I pray for everybody here. God, I pray for even for a new level of boldness to be upon us. And that our confidence would be in you. That your hand would be upon us in a great way, Lord. We could just keep on preaching. Lord, whatever our experiences have been in the past, God, that we would be able to just keep on preaching. In Spring Hill, Overton, whatever other high schools are represented, whatever college campuses are represented, whatever families, workplaces, neighborhoods represented, God, I pray for a new level of boldness. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just linger in the presence of the Lord just for a moment. Because if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe you like the music, maybe you came to Rush for the first time, or you're here at church for the first time, somebody invited you, but you've been kind of on the outside looking in, but you've seen something here tonight, not just the energy of the youth, but you've seen the presence of the Lord. And just like all of us, we come to a place where we realize that our sin, our wrongdoing has separated us from a holy and a righteous God. Realizing that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, died in my place, in your place, so that we can have a relationship with God the Father. And if you're like what I'm describing right now, on the outside looking in, but recognizing that there's a Savior that's holding out his hand to you and pulling you in and saying, come to me, and you want to receive Jesus, I'm going to pray. I want to lead you in prayer. We're going to talk to God. He's going to hear us. Maybe you felt that your prayers have never gone beyond the ceiling, the roof, but they've just bounced back. You felt that separation from God. But right now, we're recognizing that Jesus is the Savior. And he's holding out his loving hand to you, to all of us, really. If you want to receive Jesus for the first time, why don't you just pray this with me? Just say, Lord Jesus, I recognize my need for you. I realize that I've failed, that I've sinned. Tonight I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Turning away from sin and confessing Jesus as my Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just right where we are, who prayed that prayer with me? If you prayed, raise your hand. Would you do that for me? Amen. Anybody else? Who else? Anybody else? Let's all stand up as we get ready to close. I'm going to ask one more thing. I want to pray with those who raise their hand. I want to pray an important prayer. It's so important that I don't want to do it from far away. But I want to ask you, if you raise your hand saying, I want to receive Jesus, I have received, I prayed with you, I want to ask you to come forward with me. I also want to ask our ministry team, if there's any ministry team people, just come on forward and help me as well. But if you raise your hand to receive Jesus, why don't you just come on down forward, please? Jesus said that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll also be ashamed of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just hold on just a minute. If you raise your hand, we don't want to embarrass you, but at the same time, we do want you to publicly confess Jesus. So if you raise your hand, if you know that you need Jesus, just come on down. Father, we thank you so much that you're for us, that you're not against us. Thank you, Lord, for your love here in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to be dismissed here in a second. If you have any prayer needs or anybody that you want to just, if you want somebody just to stand with you in any area, just come on forward. These people have been trained just to stand with you and to pray with you, to pray for you. Other than that, we love you very much. This coming Sunday, I think, June 29th? It's the fifth Sunday of the month, so it's going to be a special youth rush Sunday, right? You guys going to be playing again? Okay, fantastic. So we want to invite everybody. Bring everybody from Spring Hill. Bring everybody from everywhere, okay? God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and grant you his peace. And we are dismissed.